ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भक्त्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीयुक्तं श्लोके Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter 12, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit, Text 34. Tena Samrita Sambharo Dharma Puntro Yudhishthira Vajimedhastribhirbhuto Yajyai Samyajadharyam. What was your translation? Tena, with that wealth, Samvrita, collected, Sambhara, ingredients, Dharmaputra, the pious king, Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, Vajimedhe, by horse sacrifices, Tribhi, three times, Bhita, being greatly afraid after the battle of Kurukshetra, Yajna, sacrifices, Samayaja, perfectly worshipped, Harim, the personality of Godhead. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. By those riches, the king would procure the ingredients for the three horse sacrifices. Thus, the pious king Yudhishthira, who was very fearful after the battle of Kurukshetra, pleased Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. Purport. It's a very long and interesting purpose, so you should hear it patiently. Maharaj Yudhishthira was the ideal and celebrated pious king of the world, and still he was greatly afraid after the execution of the battle of Kurukshetra because of the mass killing in the fight, all of which was done only to install him on the throne. He therefore took all the responsibility for sins committed in the warfare, and to get rid of all these sins, he wanted to perform three sacrifices in which horses are offered at the altar. Such a sacrifice is very costly. Even Maharaj Yudhishthira had to collect the necessary heaps of gold left by Maharaj Maruta and the Brahmanas, who were given gold in charity by King Maruta. The learned Brahmanas could not take away all the loads of gold given by Maharaj Maruta, and therefore they left behind the major portion of the gift. And Maharaj Maruta also did not again collect such heaps of gold given away in charity. Beside that, all the golden plates and utensils which were used in the sacrifice were also thrown in the dustbins. And all such heaps of gold remained unclaimed property for a long time, till Maharaj Yudhishthira collected them for his own purposes. Lord Shri Krishna advised the brothers of Maharaj Yudhishthira to collect the unclaimed property because it belonged to the king. The more astonishing thing is that no subject of the state also collected such unclaimed gold for industrial enterprise or anything like that. This means that the state citizens were completely satisfied with all the necessities of life, and therefore not inclined to accept unnecessary productive enterprises for sense gratification. Maharaj Yudhishthira also requisitioned the heaps of gold for performing sacrifices and for pleasing the Supreme Hari, Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, he had no desire to collect them for the state treasury. One should take lessons from the act of Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was afraid of sins committed on the battlefield, and therefore he wanted to satisfy the supreme authority. This indicates that unintentional sins are also committed in our daily occupational discharge of duties, and to counteract even such unintentional crimes, one must perform sacrifices as they are recommended in the revealed scriptures. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yajyarthat karmano yatra loka yam karma bandhana, that one must perform sacrifices recommended in the scriptures in order to get rid of commitments of all unauthorized work or even unintentional crimes which we are apt to commit. By doing so, one shall be freed from all kinds of sins, and those who do not do so but work for self-interest or self-gratification have to undergo all tribulations occurred from committed sins. Therefore, the main purpose of performing sacrifices is to satisfy the Supreme Personality, Hari. The process of performing sacrifices may be different in terms of different times, places and persons, but the aim of such sacrifices is one and the same at all times and in all circumstances, with satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Hari. That is the way of pious life, and that is the way of peace and prosperity in the world at large. Maharaj Yudhishthira did all these as the ideal pious kings in the world. If Maharaj Yudhishthira is a sinner in his daily discharge of duties, in royal administration of state affairs, wherein killing of men and animals is a recognized art, then we can just imagine the amount of sins committed consciously or unconsciously by the untrained population of the Kali Yuga, who have no way to perform sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavatam says, therefore, that the prime duty of the human being is to satisfy the Supreme Lord by the performance of one's occupational duty. Let any man of any place or community, caste or creed be engaged in any sort of occupational duty, but he must agree to perform sacrifices as it is recommended in the scriptures for the particular place, time and person. In the Vedic literatures, it is recommended that in Kali Yuga, people engage in glorifying the Lord by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangat paramrajat, without offense. By doing so, one can be freed from all sins, and thus one can attain the highest perfection of life by returning home back to God. We have already discussed this more than once in this great literature in different places, especially in the introductory portion by sketching the life of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And still we are repeating the same with a view to bring about peace and prosperity in the society. The Lord has declared openly in Bhagavad Gita how He becomes pleased with us, and the same process is practically demonstrated in the life and preaching work of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The perfect process of performing yajnas or sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord Hari, the Personality of Godhead, who gets us free from all the miseries of existence, is to follow the ways of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this dark age of quarrel and dissension. Maharaj Yudhishthira had to collect heaps of gold to secure the paraphernalia for the horse sacrifice yajnas in days of sufficiency. So we can hardly think of such performance of yajnas in these days of insufficiency and complete scarcity of gold. At the present moment, we have heaps of paper and promises of their being converted into gold by economic development of modern civilization. And still, there is no possibility of spending riches like Maharaj Yudhishthir, either individually or collectively or by straight patronization. Just suitable, therefore, for the age is the method recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in terms of the Shastras. Such a method requires no expenditure at all and yet can award more benefit than any other expensive methods of yajna performances. The horse sacrifice yajna or cow sacrifice yajna performed by the Vedic regulation should not be misunderstood as a process of killing animals. On the contrary, animals offered for the yajnas were rejuvenated to a new span of life by the transcendental power of chanting the Vedic hymns, which, if properly chanted, are different from what is understood by common layman. The Veda mantras are all practical, and the proof is rejuvenation of the sacrificed animal. There is no possibility of such methodical chanting of the Vedic hymns by the so-called Brahmanas or priests of the present age. The untrained descendants of the twice-born families are no more like their forefathers, and thus they are counted among the Shudras or once-born men. The once-born man is unfit to chant the Vedic hymn, and therefore there is no practical utility of chanting the original hymns. And to save them all, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propounded the Sankirtan movement or Yajna for all practical purposes. And the people of the present age are strongly recommended to follow this sure and recognized path. Abhagyani Mrandasya Yanagama Shalakaya Chakshurunam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvi Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobrishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavansa Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Ritam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Paritana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padana Sahagana Lalita Shivishadha Nitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantra Shri Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanam Sute Devim Pranamami Hari Priya Pancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavayo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Tene samvritha sambharo dharma putra yudhishthiro vaji medhe trivir vito yagye samayuja dharim. By those riches the king could procure the ingredients for 3 horse sacrifices. Thus the pious king Yudhishthira, who was very fearful after the battle of Kurukshetra, pleased Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining very wonderfully so many points which can be learned and which should be taken as lesson from the act of one of the purest devotees of Lord Shri Krishna, Maharaj Yudhishthira. There are many points mentioned in this long purport, and the whole purport Prabhupada is trying to focus on is that one must try please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all circumstances. The prime duty of the human being is to satisfy the Supreme Lord by the performance of one's occupational duty. Srila Prabhupada is quoting this 1.2.13, which is a very famous shloka. Atapam Vedhudhisheshta Varnashma Gubhagasha Swa Nishthasasya Dharmasya Sam Siddhim Hari Toshanam. The prime duty of human beings is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So in the first paragraph of this purport, Prabhupada is explaining why Prabhupada is giving such a long purport and stressing certain points which may not be directly relevant to us, like collecting heaps of gold to perform Vedic sacrifices. It's not possible, Prabhupada is writing in the end of time. But the whole purpose is to stress one point, that those who are actually engaged in spiritual life, for them, material achievements in terms of money and other things doesn't keep much relevance. Here we are hearing that King Maruta donated gold in charity, loads of gold actually it is written. The learned brahmanas could not take away all the loads of gold. Today, you know, if somebody has a gold ring or a gold, you know what, little pendulum. You know, in India they say they keep their buttons open so that people can know actually that they have gold. And here it is written that people were given heaps of gold in charity, brahmanas. And brahmanas were not interested in that. And they left behind the major portion. And more than that, the golden plates and utensils were thrown in the dustbins. That was the standard. So even economically, we can see we are nowhere, even materially, this present civilization is nowhere as far as our Vedic civilization is concerned. People will be least concerned. Prabhupada is mentioning the further notes. These days, we keep, you know, our so-called currency notes in lockers. And there, in those days, people will not even keep golden plates. They will throw them in the dustbin. You know, like we have this disposable, you know, plates, plastic or whatever, you know, paper plates. After food, we will throw them. But actually, the standard was such a high standard that people will throw away the silver and golden plates also. What do you talk of anything else? That's Vedic civilization. The whole reason was because the Supreme Lord was pleased. They were satisfying the Supreme Lord, and in response to that, the Lord was responding them with all the requirements. As Krishna says in that famous Bhagavad Gita shloka, Ananya Chintayanto Maam, Ye Jana Paripasate, Tesham Vitti Vyuktyana, Yoga Shema Vahamya. One who is engaged, Ananya Chintayanto, in performing my devotional service, I am supplying them whatever they need. People are starving these days. Not because there is insufficient grains or material, but because they are violating the laws of Supreme Lord. Prabhupada used to say again and again. So this Maharaj Maruta was also a wonderful king who was donating gold to Brahmanas. And then he says, once the Brahmanas left, leaving that, because Brahmanas are not interested, okay. But even the king was not interested in reclaiming them. Okay, the Brahmanas have gone away, leaving these gold, heaps of gold, and plates of gold. So let me take it back. And then again I can get again back in donation or use it. No. He was not concerned. It is said here, even, so Brahmanas never took. And then Maharaj Maruta also did not again collect such heap of gold given away in charity. And then furthermore, he says that even the more astonishing thing Prabhupada is saying is that no subject of the state, even the citizens, okay, now Brahmanas have left, king have left, so it's a job of citizens now, huh? Gold is lying. Even the subject of the state also never collected unclaimed gold for any industrial enterprises. Huh? Why? This means that the state citizens were completely satisfied with all the necessities of life. So this is one important thing. Krishna conscious life, spiritual life is such a wonderful life. It satisfies. Santushtam satatam yogi, Krishna says, one who is engaged in performing devotional service, he is satisfied. That is one of the qualities of a devotee. He is not hankering for material gains. Rather, even if he is offered, he rejects. That is Vairagya. That is renunciation. It is not that we are already beggar and this is how we will be renounced. If somebody is offering you and still you are not interested, that is renunciation. And that is only possible when one is completely satisfied. So here Krishna Prabhupada is mentioning that the state citizens, we are completely satisfied with all the necessities of life. You know, we have been hearing same thing in Bhagavatam many times, like during the kingdom of Lord Ram and during the kingdom of other kings, pious kings. Every citizen was having whatever it requires. And they were so much supplied by all these things that even if they don't want old age, disease and death, it will not come to them. That was the kingdom of the pious kings. So here it is said that they are fully satisfied and therefore not inclined to accept unnecessary productive enterprises for sense gratification. So the moment we try to accumulate extra things, we are bound to engage, entangle in ourselves in sense gratification. That is why Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction is explaining Atyahara Prayasya. These two things. Means overeating and over collecting or over endeavoring. This is very big detriment. It's too much detrimental for our spiritual life. Shakti Bhakti Vinashati. These all six things. Atyahara Prayasya Prajalpa Nimara. Shakti Bhakti Vinashati. That is going to finish your spiritual life. So that is why they are not interested in over collecting because they were satisfied. A Brahmana, especially a Brahmana. That's why Prabhupada is talking about Brahmanas in the last purport. That these days, so-called Brahmanas are not qualified. So Brahmana means always satisfied. Whatever he get, he is satisfied with that. And he will keep performing his devotional service. So that's one thing Prabhupada is saying in the first paragraph. And even Maharaj Yudhishthira, he is saying, he was also taking all this. The four people have not claimed. Like Brahmanas have not been claimed. Then Maharaj Maruta has not reclaimed it back. Citizens were not claiming. Why Maharaj Yudhishthira was advised by Lord Krishna? Because he was taking this all for pleasing the Supreme Personality of God. Otherwise, he has no desire to collect. So if at all we are forced, please take. It is not the case. Rather we are hankering over when we shall get. But even sometime, if at all if we are requested or asked, then the only purpose of accepting is to please the Supreme Hari. You know, in the initial days of our movement, you know, when Srila Prabhupada was engaged in constructing so many temples. So, you know, sometime, of course, he was not having always sufficient Lakshmi. And sometime, you know, some people will come and they say, this is black money. You know, black money is what you say, you know, which is not disclosed or which is not accountable. And so Prabhupada says, okay, you bring this black money, I will engage, I will utilize it in service of Krishna, I will make it white. So, Prabhupada is setting a standard. For a devotee, the only purpose of accepting Lakshmi is to engage it in service of the Supreme Lord. That's what Maharaj Yudhishthira was doing. And then, second lesson. There are many lessons in this purport. It's a very wonderful purport Prabhupada has given. Almost 3 pages purport. And so many wonderful points, and Prabhupada is saying one should take lessons. So that is the first lesson, that one is not supposed to either be engaged in overeating or over collecting, and whatever he has to collect, it should be utilized for the Supreme Personality of God. And he should be always satisfied with whatever Krishna has supplied. Second point he is saying, very important, he was afraid of sins committed on the battlefield. And therefore, he wanted to satisfy the Supreme Authority. This indicates that unintentional sins are also committed in our daily occupational discharge of duties. Now that's there. Even in our daily occupational duties, which we are supposed to do, we commit so many sins. And one must counteract even such unintentional crimes by performing sacrifices. So one should not ignore sins and crimes. Actually speaking, after coming to spiritual life, the only reason why we are not able to develop taste for spiritual life is knowingly, unknowingly committed offenses and sins. You know, Srila Prabhupada made one remark that my disciples and my kind disciples and all devotees are actually not sufficiently afraid of Maya. And that's why they take it casual. So we should be afraid. Or it's not that, okay, now I've come to shelter of Radha Vallabha and okay, whatever I can do. No. Yudhishthira Maharaj never fought this battle for his own sense gratification. He did it on the advice of, not only on advice, on the order of the Supreme Lord. But Prabhupada is saying right in the first line that because he was thinking that the mass killing in the fight of battle was done only to install him on the throne. Lord Shri Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to rule the earth. And we hear actually, probably it will come, probably it has been discussed, you know, when the battle was over and Maharishi was not pleased at all. He was very disturbed. And even when Lord Krishna tried to convince him, he was not convinced. And then he took Yudhishthira Maharaj to Bhishma Devi. Of course, Krishna wanted to glorify his devotee, Bhishma. And also he wanted to fulfill the desire of his devotees. Bhishma wanted to see Krishna at his last moment. So it's a wonderful pastime. So the point is, Yudhishthira Maharaj was not at all interested in becoming the king. It was done, the battle was fought just because Krishna wanted. But still, Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking, oh, I have committed such a big sin. So generally, in our daily discharge of duties also, we are not conscious. We are not that way. So much worried about what I am committing to others. I just wanted, okay, my thing should be done. In any way, it doesn't matter how others are going to face problem because of it. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, and Prabhupada is writing, one must try to counteract even unintentional crimes. And for that one must perform sacrifices. Otherwise, Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada is quoting, Yajyartha karmano naitra lokayam karma bandhana. Otherwise, even unintentional crimes which we are apt to commit, we have to undergo all tribulations accrued from committed sins. You know, this is a famous shloka. Whatever we are doing, we should try to do as a yajna, otherwise, karma bandha. Karma bandhana. Prabhupada is saying, by performing sacrifices, one shall be freed from all kind of sins, and those who do not do so, and work for self-interest or self-gratification, have to undergo all tribulations. Therefore, the main purpose of performing sacrifices is to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari. And then Prabhupada quote this famous shloka, Samsiddhi Hari Toshanam, which he says that the purpose of human life is to satisfy the Supreme Lord by the performance of one's occupational duty. Whatever will be the purpose. Let any man of any place or any community be engaged in any sort of occupational duty. But his motto should be how to please Krishna. That's our whole purpose. Prabhupada says, whenever we enter temple, we offer our respects to Prabhupada and then to deities, and then immediately we should pray and request them, what can I do for you? It's not that we come with our own list of problems that Krishna, I have this problem, I want this, I want that. The purpose of approaching Krishna should be, what can I do for you? I am an insignificant soul, but I want to please you somehow. There is a whole purpose. Prabhupada is saying, the Lord has decided, declared it openly, that how He becomes pleased with us, when, and the same process is demonstrated in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This chanting of Hare Krishna mantra pleases. This is the best yajna. Yajna is sankirtanaha. In the 11th canto we hear, Krishna Varnam Tosa Krishna Sangha Pangas Parasada. Yajna is sankirtanaha. Praya Janthi Sumidasa. This yajna is a sankirtan yajna. Even, I think in the some other chapter also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yajnanam, you know, so Yajnanam Japa Yajyosmi. Out of all sacrifices, this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, Prabhupada says, is the best sacrifice. And Krishna becomes pleased with us. You know, there is a small instance we hear in Krishna Leela. You know, when Krishna was very small, he was crawling practically on the floor. So, you know, sometimes mothers, when they have to go in the household duties, so just to make sure that, you know, their child is secure, so, they will put their anklets, you know, put bracelet in the feet. What do you call exactly? Anklets. Okay. So that whenever the child goes somewhere, they will hear the sound and, you know, they can know that, yes. So once, you know, Yashoda Maya was busy in the kitchen and Krishna was trying to find where is my mother. So he started walking. And when he started walking, his anklets in her feet, they were making sound. Krishna is Trigalagya, he knows from where the sound is coming. But he was posing as if he doesn't know. And he was, you know, from where this beautiful sound is coming. And then he thought, probably it's from coming from my feet. And he tapped his feet more strongly. And then the sound was increasing. And then Krishna started, you know, smiling, and he was very pleased by hearing the tinkling sound of that anklet. So in that commentary, Vishwanath Devi Thakur explains, as Krishna is pleased by hearing the sound of his anklets, which are there in his feet, similarly, Krishna is very pleased by those devotees who are sitting at his lotus feet and chanting the mantra. When he hears the sound coming from the, you know, devotees who are sitting in the lotus feet of Krishna, he becomes very pleased. That's what Prabhupada is saying. He becomes pleased with us when we chant Hare Krishna mantra. The whole purpose is to please Krishna. And Prabhupada is saying, he should not be entangled in his own sense gratification. See, there are two things. This is again mentioned Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Indriya Priti Dhare Premana, Nij Indriya Priti Dhare Kamana. Nij means Nij Indriya Priti. When you try to satisfy your own senses, then it becomes Kama, it becomes lust. Nij Indriya Priti Dhare Kamana. Krishna Indriya Priti Dhare Premana. When you try to satisfy the Supreme Lord, then it becomes real love. There is another one nice instance from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very instructive instance for devotees. You know, once he was performing very nice kirtan in Jagannath Puri temple, it is mentioned in Antalila, and the kirtan was going non-stop, and you know, he was dancing, and devotees, the other devotees were feeling a little tired, but still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much absorbed in kirtan that he couldn't stop it. So then Nityananda Prabhu thought, what to do? These other devotees want to take rest. So then there were seven parties chanting and dancing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he asked everybody to stop. The only party in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, they were continuing with the kirtan. And then when he couldn't hear the kirtan sound and this mridanga and kirtan, then he came in excellent consciousness. And then Nityananda Prabhu told Prabhu, everybody is fatigued now. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, okay. And then he asked everybody to go rest. And then he went to take shower in the ocean, bath in the ocean. And then he took prasad. And then he came to his place in Gambira. And then lied down. And daily it was the duty of his servant Govinda. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will take lunch, he will come, he will massage his legs, and then he will go for taking his prasad. But that day, what happened? Because he was too much exhausted from the kirtan, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered his room and he lied blocking the whole door. You know, if you've gone to Jagannath Puri, you see in the Gambira there is a very small room and a small door is there. So he was lying and the whole door was blocked. So when Govinda came, he requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, please, I want to massage your legs, please give me the way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, I'm too much tired, I can't move my body, I'm tired. He was repeating, please, please, I want to enter and do some service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that's up to you. If you want to do service or not, that's not my problem. But I can't move my body. So then Govinda was thinking what to do. And then, you know, he removed his puttari, his chadar, and he placed it on the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he crossed it. Because otherwise, according to Vaishnava etiquette, it's not good to cross somebody's body, especially seeing a person's body. But because he wanted to do service to, he wanted to satisfy the Supreme God, so he covered the legs of Lord and he crossed in. And then he started massage, and after a few minutes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to sleep. And it is mentioned in Chaitanya Chaitanya, around 45 minutes, after 45 minutes, he was still massaging because, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and he said, why you are still here? You must have gone after I've slept, you have to take your prasad. But he was not responding. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why are you staying back? You should go. Then he said, how can I go? You are blocking the whole door. How can I go? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, how you came inside? You should go the way you have come inside. You should go out. Then Govinda, Krishnadas Kavira says, Govinda mentally answered, how can I do? For Krishna's service, for Gauranga's service, I am ready to commit as many offenses. I don't bother. Even if I have to suffer the sinful reactions of offenses, for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, I don't mind. But for my own sense meditation, as far as it comes for my life, prasadam, I can't do this. Because initially he was trying to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he said, okay, no problem. Like we hear this famous story, you know, when Krishna has having a headache and gopis are saying, okay, you take my dust, Narad Muni. So Narada says, you don't know how much sin you are going to have. Gopi says, that we are not worried about that. So Govinda is teaching. So the whole purpose is, Prabhupada is stressing in the purport also is, the devotee should always be thinking, planning, how to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And in that course, he is not concerned about his own sense gratification, own pleasure. So that is one more message Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport. And then the third thing he is saying, of course, was about the misinterpretation about the different yajnas which are mentioned in Vedic literature, like this horse sacrifice or cow sacrifice or other things. Prabhupada is saying it should not be misunderstood as a process of killing animals. On the contrary, animals which are offered for yajnas are given a new span of life. Now the Brahmanas were so expert in chanting the Vedic mantras that while performing these sacrifices, they will give new life to the animals which have an old body. So sometimes, you know, we see that people misinterpret it and try to kill animals in the name of sacrifices. So Prabhupada is saying there is no possibility of such methodical chanting of Vedic hymns by the so-called Brahmanas, because they are untrained descendants, and they are like Shudras. They are counted among Shudras. They are not fit to chant the Vedic hymns. So, the final thing probably. So to save them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has propounded this Sankirtan movement or Yajna for all practical purposes. Now that's an important point. You say, okay, this chant is around, but when it comes to other things, okay, we have to do this also, we have to do that also. We'll go for this solution, that solution. But Prabhupada says, for all practical purposes, this is one remedy. This is not 2-in-1, 3-in-1, 4-in-1. This is all in one. Yajna Sankirtana. That's why Krishna says, na? Jaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nam Nam Kari Bhagudha Nidhi Sam Shakti. I have invested my all energies. So Prabhupada is saying, this Sankirtan movement is there for all practical purposes, and the people, we all, are strongly recommended, not only recommended, we are strongly recommended to follow this sure and recognized path, this sure and recognized path of Sankirtan movement. So Prabhupada is mentioning here, Kirtanat eva krishnasya mokta sangat brahmajat. In the Vedic literatures it is recommended that in Kali Yuga people engage, we should engage ourselves in glory to the Lord by chanting the holy name of God without offense. Now that's another important point. Initially, okay, we may not be aware of different offenses, but if at all we want to please Krishna, then we have to chant the holy names of Krishna without offense. By doing so, one can be freed from all sins and can attain the highest perfection of life by returning home back to Godhead. So the formula has been given, and Prabhupada is saying it's so simple. Prabhupada says it's simple, effective, and sublime. But we have to do it sincerely. So he is saying, without offense, if we chant the holy names of Krishna, then we can get the highest perfection. Not a small gold ring, not a small pendulum. You can get heaps of gold and still you will not be interested. That is spiritual life. We know this story of that Goswami, and that old poor Brahmana who wanted to get something, and he came to know that this Goswami has this, you know, touchstone which can convert, you know, iron into gold. So he said, "You are a sadhu, why you need it?" "Yes," he says, "I don't need it." So he said, "Please give it to me." So it's there in the dustbin. It is mentioned here. Huh? You know, the golden plates are thrown in the dustbin. So he said, "No, it is lying there in the dustbin, you can take it." So that fellow went and he was collecting that touchstone, but then it immediately struck to his mind, why this fellow is keeping such a valuable thing, touchstone, which can convert iron to in a dustbin. So he thought he must be having something more valuable than this. And then he went back. And he said, "Do you have anything more valuable than this?" He said, "Yes, but then you have to give up this less valuable thing. Throw it away." And then he said, "Okay, now." When he threw that touchstone, then he gave him this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that is the real, asset for all of us. And Prabhupada is giving so many nice points in this big purport, that one must be afraid. So one must be conscious. So Prabhupada said, you have to consciously become Krishna conscious. Understand this point? It's not going to happen of its own. You have to be conscious about this point. Yes. Because every step you may commit so many sinful activities. Knowingly, unknowingly. When you are driving your car, you are walking. Prabhupada said, by every blink of your eye also, we are killing actually so many jivas. By moving your finger also, you kill. World of anything else. What to go verbally and physically abusing anybody or offending. So we have to counteract all these unintentional sins by performance of sacrifice, and in this age of Kali Yuga, the sacrifice is recommended is chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra. So we are very fortunate that Prabhupada says, there is no need of spending so much money. He says, at the promise, at the present moment, in the moment of insufficiency and complete scarcity of gold, it requires no expenditure at all, and yet can award more benefit than any other expensive method. So this is the simplest, cheapest way of pleasing. Cheapest and sure way of pleasing and satisfying the Supreme Lord. Of chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. Any suggestion, question, comments from this verse? Just take this through. Yeah. Performance of one's occupational duty, yes.
So, for example, if Rudra is not allowed to read Shastra, so if he does that, what are the consequences? Why not?
Prabhupada is saying we all are Shudras that way, for that matter, and we are not otherwise allowed to go in details, because we cannot understand as far as the Vedic literatures are concerned. But if one chants the names of Krishna under the guidance of his pure devotee, spiritual master, then he can be elevated from that impure, unqualified level to a level on which he can try reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and understand it. We are, all of us, most of us are actually not qualified. Especially the Vedic scriptures means when we talk of the Puranas, Upanishads and Vedas, because we cannot understand the intricate meanings of our own. That is why Prabhupada is saying, it does not matter. Prabhupada says in some ways in first canto, but even a dog eater, javanas, he says even the most qualified brahmanas, if they recite nice verses, they are not that pleasing to Krishna, whereas even the lowest of the mankind, when they chant the names of God and when they glorify Krishna, then Krishna is more pleased. Meaning that as far as consequences are concerned, you said, so they will misinterpret it, and like in today's verse we hear that Vedic sacrifices involve killing of animals, so they will misinterpret it and people are doing it. They think, oh, in Kali Puja you can kill animals and other things. So they are going to go more deeper in the material world, that is hellish planets. So this is cautionary. This is a warning actually given. That one must not go in the complicated instructions of Vedic scriptures until unless one gets some pre-qualification by purifying himself by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Under the guidance of spiritual master and devotees, one can read scriptures and then he can be clarified. Otherwise, misinterpretation will be there. So even if a Shudra is there, his Prabhupada says, even a Shudra can chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. You know that story, I don't know whether you remember, we generally tell, you know, about faith. You know that story of Brahmana and Kobala? You must have heard that, Narada. So he was a Brahmana, expert in Vedic scriptures, but still, Krishna says, you have to wait for long. Whereas Kabbalah was just, you know, stitching shoes. But he was in deep faith in Krishna. You know, when Narada came, so Narada is confused. How you are saying, Krishna, that this Brahmana is not qualified to come back to you, and this Kabbalah is qualified, he is so much well-versed in scriptures. So Krishna says, okay, I will give you a test. You go, and when you go, reach there, so if they ask you what Krishna was doing, you tell them that Krishna was passing an elephant through the eye of a needle, you know. So when Narada Muni came and Brahmana saw him, he was very happy. Oh, you have come from Krishna. What he said about me, when I will be liberated. So Narada Muni was very upset. Oh, Krishna is saying it will take a long time. Brahmana thought, no, you are lying. You must not have gone there. You might not have gone even there. Okay, tell me what Krishna was saying. So Narada remembered, oh, Krishna told me whenever I will, somebody will ask this question. So Krishna said, so Narada said, oh, Krishna was passing an elephant from eye of the needle. So Brahmana said, what? Have you gone crazy? It's difficult to pass in the thread. For, you know, sometimes people have to use specs if they become weak. And you were talking, the elephant was being passed. And he started chasing him. So then Arjuna ran off and then he met the cobbler. And the same thing he mentioned. So when cobbler heard, he said, oh, my Krishna is so wonderful. Arjuna says, hold on, hold on. Are you crazy? Is it possible? Narada was testing him. Cobbler said, why not? And then he said, oh, see this big tree, this banyan tree under which I'm sitting. When Krishna can pack the whole big tree in such a small seed, then what's impossible for him? He can do anything. So then Narada understood. Oh, Krishna was right in him because he has deep faith. So the same thing, you know, even if a Shudra is there, even if a low-class person is there, if he has deep faith in the chanting of the Maha Mantra and instructions of Acharyas, does it clarify your point? Okay, thank you very much. Krantra Shunatam Ki, Shila Prabhupada Ki, Tai Guru Hari Premanandi.